Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad you're here. It's the July 8 edition of the Grilling Guys. Summer is in full swing. We just got the holiday weekend behind us. Hope you had some great grilling success, created some envy in your neighborhood at the holiday parties. It's kind of weird this week, Barbecue Bob, because a lot of America took Monday and Tuesday off, with the fourth being on Tuesday, and it's like short week. All week I've been like a couple days behind, and here we are talking about the weekend again. So I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, I feel you. And thanks for joining us. It was a short week. It went by really quick. A Wednesday felt like Monday.
Yeah.
So that's okay, because that makes a good work week where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken skewers. That's what I want to talk about. I did some chicken skewers when I was up for the Independence weekend. And I brought some steaks up and some chicken skewers. Now, my wife, you know, God bless her, she always is prepared for about everything, you know. So she went out and got some chicken breasts. And she got the skinless, boneless, and I looked at him, and I kind of held my breath a little, and I said, you know, if we're going to go on a guest grill somewhere,
yep,
I'd like to see some skin and bone on that chicken, because those right there, I can do really well on my infrared grill, but you're going to challenge me on a campfire and some other things to make them really, really nice. And she goes, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. So I said, that's all right. I think I know what to do. I got out a few different oils, flavored oils, and a couple different balsamics, and I found a spice blend that had been one of these test-run spices somebody sent me, I'm saying 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's a packet.
Fresh, huh?
It was still fine. I tasted it, and it was just great. It was hermetically sealed, right? So I dumped that in with the oil and balsamic. I took the chicken breasts, and I cubed them up to, like, inch by inch, maybe, because I figured we're going to skewer them when we got to Scott and Katie's cabin. And I threw some Vidalias in there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. That was so nice. It was just a balsamic and some really nice garlic EVO and this crazy barbecue spice blend, which I don't normally do with chicken.
Right.
I don't, you know, people are like, oh, barbecue chicken. No, I don't even put barbecue sauce on chicken. I like that at the VFW once a year.
Right.
That's about it with the old boys doing it.
Right. Right. But now the important thing about skewering that chicken is you cut those cubes up all about the same size. That way they cook evenly. Right. I mean, that's just a tip when you're doing barbecue skewers. Over the weekend, I went and visited our favorite butcher. And I got to give him a little shout out, Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats, because he always takes such great care of me. And
you got some free meat.
Yeah, I got some meat from him. Yes, it was awesome. But my point is that it was beef ribs. And I am not a seasoned beef rib guy, but I said, you know what? I got time and I've got the patience. I'm going to give this a run.
That's how you keep going at it.
Right.
You get seasoned.
Exactly. So as I was preparing for the show this week, I threw a shout out to our Facebook friends and I said, hey, what's difficult for you to grill or smoke? And tell us which it is, and then we'll try to give you some tips and techniques. And a couple people responded back to us that beef ribs were one of the toughest things that they could do. Justin Rosenau was one of them, and he's a regular follower of the show. So Justin, thanks for the shout out. But so beef ribs, brought them on the temperature, let them put some seasoning on them. And I think this is where I made the mistake. And talking with you, Bob, I didn't use a heavy enough salt seasoning. I used more of a steak seasoning, which maybe isn't so heavy on salt, but had a little more garlic and some paprika and some other spices in it. If I had to do it over again in talking to you, I probably would have put a saltier rub on it and then maybe just some cracked pepper and garlic powder. Yeah. But anyway, beef ribs.
And then what temperature did you do the first 2 hours at?
I was at 250 degrees, and I was pretty dialed in with that because I used my ThermoPen digital thermometer with the probes on it. And so I set it right there, and I set the alarm at 260. So if I got up, I was just dialing that pellet grill back.
So how much smoke were you throwing on the meat?
You know what? Not a lot, because at 260, that I used the pellet grill. And at 260, that pellet grill is really not smoking. You got to get it down a little bit, maybe like 210, 215, for it to throw a lot of smoke off those pellets. But anyway, put it in there. And the probe, I went to 160 degrees on the meat. And here's the other challenge I had, is I had a big piece with five bones, and I had a smaller piece with only two bones. Okay, well, the smaller piece, I didn't have the probe in. I put it in the bigger one. I figured that'd be the one that cooks slower, right? Well, I was right there. In that, by the time I got the big piece up to the 160, and that 160 is significant because then I wrap them in foil pretty tightly and put them back on and take them up to about 195 where they're going to be done. But that little piece was overdone, and the bigger by the time the bigger piece was
you
done.
You know what you might consider next time is just not using a ThermoPen, not checking temps. Do it by look, feel, touch. And consistency.
Well, they were wrapped in foil, and that's the part that I couldn't tell. That you know, that was where I used
but
the pen bills.
But I mean, even to determine when you're ready to put them into foil.
Okay.
Instead of trying to worry about a temperature, because ribs, I don't care if it's pork or beef. Myself personally, I never check the temperature on them.
Yep, and I was doing it trying to get a good product.
You're using brisket mentality.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not the same. You'd think it would be, but I don't know. I just never do it that way, and I don't for pork ribs either. It's all about the look.
Okay, so if we're helping out the listeners, and what is the look that you're looking for? Because I saw one of that two-bone rack, it puffed up. It got probably twice as high as it was when I started. And the meat had retracted off the end of the bone, so it was gravitating toward the center, and it was getting taller as it did that. The five-bone rack never did that. It shrunk a little bit, but it didn't get thick in the middle like the two-bone.
It didn't have a lot of meat on it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there was meat on both
it's
of them.
It's trimmed differently.
Okay.
See, and that's why if you go to your butcher and tell them you want to trim them, you want your ribs cut full length for individual smoking, so you can make the big caveman piece out of it that you like so much. He'll cut them up for you like that, and then you'll have a consistent piece of meat that's going to reduce and break down at the same pace and all as one muscle. You're dealing with really two different pieces of the rib cage there, treating them the same way. So I don't know that I can't explain it because I wasn't there, but based on what you're saying, I would tell you just the next time is just to use full-length ribs and smoke them at a nice low temperature, 2 1/4, for like 4 hours, maybe five. And then when they're starting to get a little bit tender, that's when I wrap them and I hydrate them just a little bit. And I'll leave them on for about another hour. Beef ribs, if they're cut properly, you're going to be foiling individual ribs.
Okay.
And they're going to
mine were in a rack.
I know
right.
I know it. And those are nice for Korean ribs, which we can talk about later. But, you know, when you talk about success or how do you achieve what you like, I'm going to tell you that those are the steps I would take. Because it's within my control, something I know how to do. I'm not maybe saying it properly, but that's a process that I have found works for me.
Right. So the average guy that doesn't do this very often, we always advocate a ThermoPen, but it is a feel thing once you get it going. Coming up next, we're going to go fishing for a little bit of grill help in that area. Stick with us. We'll be back. So we're stealing your kiss like this, making your world stand still.